This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The Enron CEO gets another day in court.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The U.S. Supreme Court set aside today a ruling that upheld the conspiracy conviction of former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling. The High Court said prosecutors were mistaken in the way they prosecuted Skilling. But justice has left it to a lower court, an appeals court, to determine whether his conviction should be overturned. We're going to get some analysis of this ruling. Michael Connor is editor of Business Ethics Magazine. He's with us live from New York. Good day to you, sir.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. This is centered around this honest services fraud law. I mean, without getting into obnoxious legalese, what is that?
Well, it's a law, a part of the U.S. federal code passed in 1988 that makes it a crime to use either the mail or wire services in a scheme, and the language used is, quote, to deprive another of the intangible right of honest services. Now, the problem is that neither the 28-word provision nor the legislative history has shed any light on what the intangible right of honest services means or to whom it is owed. So that's why the court decision today.
And how's the law been used in the past?
Well, it's been used extensively in a large number of white-collar criminal cases, as well as the prosecutions of public officials. And prosecutors love it because it is short, it's vague, and it's capable of seemingly endless elasticity. One lawyer I talked to said it is the most brazen and obvious attempt to criminalize behavior that may be bad, but that would not otherwise be considered criminal. So prosecutors have loved it. Defense lawyers and obviously defendants have hated it.
And so the Supreme Court left it up to the lower courts to determine whether the conviction should be overturned. What's that going to mean for other white-collar cases?
Well, it means a number of things. One is that in cases that are pending, the courts are going to have to look at the underlying charges. In other words, honest services law usually is accompanied by specific charges such as bribery or kickbacks or other more specific instances of misbehavior. There's one case in Chicago, the case of former Governor Blagojevich, which began about a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks now, in which the prosecutors anticipated this decision and actually revised their charges against the former governor to include more specific charges.
Sounds like there's a precedent there.
There is. You know, one of the things that I think in the arguments before the court back in December, some of the justices noted that when applied broadly, the honest services law has implications for many people, including many general employees who might be goofing off at work, reading the racing form and saying, well, you're not providing honest services.
We're going to have to wrap it up there. All right. Michael Connor from Business Ethics Magazine. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, let's do the numbers. Dow is off about 1% right now, about 0.9%, 89 points at 10,208. The markets, the NASDAQ and S&P both down more than 1% right now. European shares off as well, and Asian shares were mixed today in overseas trading. Viacom says it'll appeal a ruling that came down yesterday in its copyright case against Google. In a billion-dollar lawsuit, the TV giant claimed Google, owner of YouTube, is allowing users to upload copyrighted Viacom material. The federal judge said because Google's removing copyrighted material, as soon as it becomes aware of it, it is following the law. So we're going to get some analysis on that ruling. Cecilia Kang is a technology reporter for The Washington Post. She's with us live from D.C. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is Google doing right in terms of the content that may infringe upon these copyright laws?
Well, what Google is doing right is when it is informed by the content creator, that includes Viacom, includes NBC, includes all the companies that create videos and other content on the web, when those companies inform Google through its YouTube site that the that it has illegal or infringing copyrighted material on its site, it's taking it down. And that was the key to the ruling yesterday, was that when it knows, when Google knows that it has infringing content, it takes it down.
So it's about knowledge, right?
It is about knowledge.
And it's
about specific knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And specific knowledge about whether this is copyrighted material. As it stands, what does the ruling mean for other video sites?
Well, it's a huge win for a lot of video sites and a lot of applications and sites on the web like Facebook, eBay, because their whole business really is exchanging information. And a lot of the information that's exchanged is copyright protected. So it's a huge win for them because they're no longer responsible or liable for the content that's on their site as long as they do what Google did in this case, which was to take down the material, even though there were tens of thousands of Viacom videos from the Comedy Central, from MTV on YouTube. Google said, we took down the material as soon as we found out that was the case. And that was really the key.
Do you think the ruling will be overturned very quickly?
In a way, this is going to set a precedent. I think this case is going to be referred to down the road for other suits. And the bus has sort of left the station now that this ruling has come down. Viacom is appealing, like you said, but it's going to be – there will be more legal battle. But this really was a precedent-setting case, and everybody's going to refer to this going forward.
Cecilia Kang from The Washington Post. Cecilia, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
The British oil giant BP seems to be containing the oil gusher again in the Gulf after a collision of some of its equipment. Of course, a complete fix would help give the company's CEO his life back. But where is Tony Hayward? From London, Stephen Beard has that.
Once he was everywhere, on the Gulf Coast, on Capitol Hill, on the nightly TV news. Then suddenly, Tony Hayward disappeared. He failed to show up at a major oil industry gathering in London. Another public appearance was also cancelled. Now we know why. Hayward has been replaced, not as chief executive, but as BP's boss in the Gulf. That job has now gone to an American BP executive who comes from Mississippi. This just may help the company's shattered reputation, says oil analyst Nick McGregor.
There'll be a greater degree of empathy when people see somebody who is from one of the Gulf states standing there and saying BP cares about what's happening here.
But still, the question remains, where is Tony Hayward? BP's press office says they never comment on the chief executive's whereabouts. But one commentator here reckons that Hayward is enjoying his lower profile and sailing his yacht on the unpolluted waters off the southern coast of England. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is Marketplace.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.